you lovely lot, and you are very welcome to another episode of Unlocked with myself, Laura Fox, and my lovely pal,
Emma Power. Oh, thanks for calling me a lovely pal.
You slow boy.
Why?
Just the silence before. Emma Power.
Just making an entrance, you know. But thanks for calling me your lovely pal. You are a lovely pal too. When you're not being a giant douche.
I'm going to punch you in the face. This is what I mean to you. I was actually trying to be a bit nice on the back of something that we will be talking about very shortly, because I got sent a very abusive email about how mean I am to you by a randomer.
No.
Anyways, you watched the Jessie Nelson documentary.
I did. I actually just watched it this morning. I didn't catch it when I was on the telly last week, and I'd seen clips throughout the week, so I was dying to watch it slash kind of dreading watching it, because I knew it was one that would really, really tug at the heartstrings and be emotional. And it was. Oh my God, my heart breaks for Jessie and for anyone who goes through what she's gone through. So for anyone who hasn't seen it, Jessie Nelson is, of course, one of the members of Little Mix. And the documentary went out last week on BBC, and it was about trolling and how trolls and negative comments and people basically bullying her made her so upset that she actually wanted to end her life.
That she tried to end her life. And I think that was kind of missed in all the ads. I thought that it was she was having dark thoughts, but I didn't realise that she actually overdosed at one point with the intent of, I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah.
I do not want to have to live this life. But do you remember at the time, because X Factor was huge.
Yeah.
Like it was, I can't imagine that anyone listening to this didn't listen or watch X Factor back in the day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't even have to give it a comparison, but it was bigger than what Love Island is now, because it hit such a wide generation of people.
It was for everyone. Like we used to, every Saturday night, it was like our thing. I never watch X Factor now anymore, but it was our thing. If we were staying in or if we were going out, we'd have free drinks in someone's house and we'd watch the whole of X Factor. Like that was it. We weren't leaving the house until we'd watched every single second of X Factor.
I remember crying when Daniel Johnson got voted out, and I just remember him singing Purple Rain. It was his best performance, and he ended up leaving that night.
But they all sing Purple Rain.
Shut up, Emma, right? He was in a purple suit. Okay, I loved him. Might have fancied him a little bit. That could have had something to do with it.
Maybe.
But at that time when Little Mix were, I mean, thrown together, and they're all amazing. They were in two separate groups first, and then two of them got pulled from each and then got put together into this thing. Like, I just remember casually not thinking it's okay, but not batting an eyelid at the fact that the media were tearing her down.
Yeah.
And everybody was screaming at her. And as she says herself, like, she was just referred to as the fat one from Little Mix.
The ugly one.
The ugly one from Little Mix. And it was like, they played on that to make Little Mix a success.
But do you think maybe that was down to a lack of understanding of social media? Because Twitter would have been, I suppose, relatively new back then
In its infancy,
I would say.
And it has a lot to do with the fact that you didn't even have kids calling her these names. When they came back in 2013 and they performed their new single, and she says in the documentary that she didn't eat for a week.
Yeah.
And you can see in all the videos, she's tiny. Like, and she's now the same size as all the girls, and they all looked great on stage. And then Katie Hopkins goes and tweets and says that they look more like pick and mix these days. And now, while she didn't directly say that Jessie hadn't lost any weight, what she did say was all the rest of the girls have put on weight, and they now all just matched each other, and it looks ridiculous.
I mean, she is nasty. Yeah, she is probably one of the nastiest people
ever
in the media. Ever.
I'm mad that I even mentioned her name, but I just needed to give context to what was happening to her.
Exactly, because Katie Hopkins is an adult with young children. I think she's got two girls.
She's got two girls, yeah.
You know, so she should be thinking, you know, oh, if somebody said that about my child, I'd be so upset. And she's attacking somebody else's child. Like, what really broke my heart in the documentary was her mother.
Yeah.
And her mother's reaction. At one point, you know, they were talking about everything that Jessie went through, and the mother was so upset she had to actually say, listen, I need to stop filming this now.
Yeah, I can't do this
anymore.
She
couldn't control herself because she was so distraught. And I think that's what people don't think about. I don't understand the mentality of somebody who would actually abuse people online, who actually feel just because somebody's in the public eye that you can say whatever you want to them. Like, you wouldn't do that to the person beside you, so why would you do it to somebody online? You're hiding behind a computer. It's a really horrible thing to do. But what people don't realise is it doesn't only affect that person, it affects everyone around them. Like, you know, Jessie talked about how she didn't want to go to work, she didn't give a shit about, you know, shows she was doing, she wasn't turning up to the girls. So it then, one, affects those girls and, you know, everything about the band. But her parents were so upset. Her siblings were so upset. You know, it affects not just one person. You are ruining so many people's lives.
But you can even see how far she's come now. And I mean, she's really put her demons, you know, behind her, and she's starting to accept old Jessie, as she refers to her the whole time, you know, embraces that girl that she was so happy in until people started tainting her and just making it seem like she shouldn't be happy to be in that body because it wasn't attractive. So why would she love herself? But now they were over in LA at one point, and the four of them were recording, I think, a new song for their latest album. And so this is very, very, very recently.
Yeah.
And she's redoing everything. And when it comes to the video shoot, she's like, I look like a pig. I don't like doing this. And the girls, because they've been dealing with this for years, are speaking side camera being like, you know, she can be really difficult on video shoots and on recording albums. But then they're kind of saying like, we watched this happy, bubbly, gorgeous girl get tore down. And it was almost like a broken doll.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't really know how to deal with it because social media was such a new aspect. And at the time, I think people sending all of these messages and writing what they were writing didn't ever think that Jessie would see them, because she is a quote unquote famous person.
Yeah.
And famous people don't see what you write about them. Lies. We all know that now. We all know that things that go into your inboxes, people are reading them all the time. Me and you, for example. Emma, you have got trolled by a guy who keeps setting up a new account. And yeah, at the time, the first time he did it, we laughed.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you tell this story, but like, now it's starting to really boil my blood.
Yeah, well, actually, I don't know if it was the same person, but it was actually only recently enough. This guy kept basically calling me a pig, right? Little does he know, pigs are actually my favourite animals. So at the beginning, I was kind of laughing, thinking, you know what, I actually love pigs, so, you know, whatever. But then when somebody keeps writing to you, and, you know, for me, they were going into my message requests, so that person didn't know whether I could see them or not, but I could see them because I check my message requests, and some of them I accept, some of them I don't accept. And it kept happening. Now, I've got a very thick skin, you know?
When he turned around, and sorry, this is how much that we actually laughed and joked about this. He turned around one day and Emma texted me, sent me a screenshot and said, he's gone from calling me Little Miss Piggy to a gobshite.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stop laughing. So for the whole day, every time I was texting you, because you were actually out, you were working that day, and I said, how are you getting on, you ducking gobshite? Yeah. I was like, any crack, Little Miss Piggy, you duck and gosh. And we bantered about that and we had the crack.
And that was so small. Like, in the grand scheme of things, you know, it wasn't upsetting me, you know, it wasn't making me feel sad or feel bad about myself. But I was a bit like, hey, who are you to actually send me these messages? Because I would never in a million years do that. So I then blocked, you know. But I'm like, I can't even imagine how people feel when they're getting comments like Jessie got, like many others get, telling them to kill themselves.
Yeah.
You know, telling them that they're ugly, that their faces are deformed, that they should cut themselves. Like, I can't even begin to imagine how that feels for a person.
No, it's absolutely disgusting. But I'm sorry, I don't mean to be harping on about it again, but this same guy that you blocked, like, you are very, you will give the benefit of the doubt to a lot of people, but you got two separate fake accounts that came back at you again with the same comments. So either these people are all friends, or it's the same person setting up a fake account again and again, yeah, and again, saying the same stuff to you. Like, and you're not biting back, no, and you're constantly blocking. But what I'm saying is, like, you shouldn't have to go through that. You shouldn't have to go through some sado sitting at home, like, writing all these things to you, waiting for a reaction.
Yeah, I know. It's actually, and I really would love to understand the mentality of somebody who does that, because working in radio as well, you'll have seen this yourself many times, Laura, and I've worked not only presenting, but I've also worked on production teams behind the scenes in 2FM. So I've worked across all of the shows on 2FM. And like, people, like, I can't even begin to describe some of the text messages that are sent in about some presenters, about me, about other presenters. Like, even this morning, somebody texted in saying, oh, get that D4 head off the radio. So annoying, or something like that. Firstly, I'm not from Dublin 4. But like, still, it's like, you know, that's just mean.
Yeah, relax. Like, yeah. I mean, change the station if it's not for you. That, yeah, would be another thing. So, I mean, I can notoriously be a bit of a gobshite myself online. And I'm very open to admitting that. I lose following. Now, I've stopped actually looking at when my followers go up and down. But when I notice a massive drop in my following is when I put up something rank. If I talk about period on my Instagram, if I put up a photo of me with no makeup and a big double chin on, if I've got all these spots. Because I like doing a real life version of myself the whole time. I never overly get into the Instagram things. Yes, I put up pretty pictures just like you do, but I also put up the absolute stink. But I've started getting abuse from people for putting up the rotten things. Like, I've got these guys messaging me. Again, they go into my message request and it's like, why would you do that? Why don't you just put up the nice ones? Or I'll put up comparison pictures and I'll put up one of me when I'm in my best shape and me when I'm a little bit pudgier, just to say, you know, I'm okay with me being a little bit pudgy right now. That's totally fine. And then I'll have this guy trolled me for so long about how I needed to lose the weight.
Oh,
and I'm talking about, like,
Oh my god.
It's not a whole pile. I put the work in the gym, okay? So I'm going to take credit for that. But when I relax it down a bit, it's because I'm having a good time and I'm not really that bothered. But I don't need someone in my, like, inbox the whole time, every single day, telling me that I need to lose the weight. But
and then we wonder why girls have such a complex about themselves.
I know.
And men as well. This doesn't just happen to women. This happens to men as well.
But my all-time favourite complaint that I've gotten happened very, very recently. Yeah. It was just last week. And I just had to give context there to what I'm actually like on social. I probably the most loving friend that you will ever come across, but on social media, I will call you a dickhead and I will call you an absolute gobshite. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, I'll take a video of Emma and I'll say, look at this absolute gobshite. Look at her come towards me. What you doing? I do that to all my friends. Behind the camera, I will...
And we do it back to her.
Yeah.
So, like,
then off the camera, I will squish you to death and I will text you like 5 times a day to see if you've actually had enough water, if you've taken your vitamins. I will tell you to go to bed at 8:30 at night. Like, I'm here like blowing my own trumpet, but I got an email into my work account and it was a Sunday afternoon. And the only reason I was looking at my emails on a Sunday afternoon was because I was doing weekend breakfast on the Sunday and I was waiting on a reply for something. And I clicked into it and it said Instagram. So I opened it. This guy had paragraphed and it was an essay of the reasons that he was unfollowing me on Instagram.
Why would, if somebody annoys you that much, why would you go to those lengths to actually find their work email address and email them to tell them why he's unfollowed you?
Yeah, so he decided to let me know paragraph by paragraph what I was doing wrong. He said that he was unfollowing me because I was so condescending towards my friends. I had a really bad attitude to everything that was going on and I was so up myself that I loved myself so much. And then he decided to bring in two very well-known presenters in 2FM who I adore.
Yeah.
Two females, and said, why can't you be more like them? They don't feel the need to show off all the time. They don't feel the need to be posting pictures of themselves. They don't feel the need to be talking into the camera. Why can't you do that? And like, in my head, I'm kind of going, okay, A, because we're at different stages in our lives, like generation-wise, that they never would in a million years think to talk into a camera for fun.
And career-wise.
And career-wise, that's what I'm getting at. B, career-wise, they are established. They are household names.
And they also started their career in a time where there wasn't as much pressure to actually
have a
use social media and have a social media account.
Yeah, so that was like my thing there. I was like, okay, I'm going to disregard that. And then my main thing was that he said that I was so condescending, that I was a really bad friend and all that kind of stuff. So I wrote him back a very, very well written email.
I forgot to ask you, because then I was away for a few days. I forgot to ask if you actually replied to him.
Yeah, so I replied to him and I answered all of his queries paragraph by paragraph. And I just let him know, because in his final paragraph, what he said was, me and my friends have decided that we are unfollowing you because XYZ, and we do not stand for the same values as you, and we're pretty much over you at this point. You'll probably think that this is just a trolling message, but it's not, because it's an email. It's like
totally different.
Oh yeah,
totally. It's not on social media, so
it's totally fine. You went to the correct chain of events. But I was also going, how old are you emailing me?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, get a grip. So I wrote back to him paragraph by paragraph, just explaining that, you know, it's not really my fault that I have the crack and I'm never going to apologise for that.
Nope.
I have loads of friends and I've got a tight circle of friends who I love and trust and I feel comfortable enough to banter with and mess with them online, and they feel like they're in a safe environment as well. And lastly, I really admire these two people. They are absolute goals. I get on very well with them. But again, why are you comparing women to women? Or men to men, or women to men. Like, everybody is different for a reason. If you are looking for a copycat, carbon copy of absolutely everyone, go somewhere else, because you're not going to find it here. And mic drop.
Here. Good on you. Good on you. Did he reply?
No, did he help?
But you know, the thing is about these nasty comments, like, I even know, like, from different relationships I've been in and different friendships, if people say things, sometimes they can stick with you. Like, I remember years ago, I was very, very young, like primary school young, and somebody commented on a dance move that I did. And for years, I was paranoid about dancing. Like,
no.
For years, I had this thing, like, oh, I can't dance, until I realised,
You can dance.
You can dance. And I don't care if it's not the dancing that you like, as long as I'm enjoying myself and I'm out dancing, that's all that matters.
And by God, you're a good boogier, Emma.
Thank you. I've got a little bit of rhythm, a little bit of movement in my hips.
A little bit of soul. It all comes together.
But people just, like, you know, I think it's all about educating children and making people aware of the negative effect that a simple, small comment that you might think is nothing can have on a person for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, 100%. And actually, did you see, because in that documentary as well, Jessie visits a family of a young girl who has taken her own life. I mean, I think that tipped everybody over the edge.
Oh my God.
But what got me the most about it was that there was people out there who were malicious enough that when she had actually died, they'd had the funeral, she was only 16, and they set up a Facebook account to say so-and-so is back from the dead.
Yeah, that is disgusting.
It was the height of absolute ignorance.
Yeah.
And even when they went to the police about it and they said, you know, this is after happening, and the police were like, we don't even have a number for Facebook, so I don't know what we can do about it. And then Facebook took down that account, but then took down her original account as well, which the family were holding on to as a memorabilia. So I mean, like,
everything.
Yeah, it was like, you know, we're not condemning social media completely. We still absolutely, we love it. We have a great time on it. There is the good and the bad with it. And that poor family lost both.
And you know what? I think the moral of it is just be bloody nice to people.
Think, like, before you tweet.
Don't suffer in silence. So I know this week obviously was probably a bit more of a deeper issue than we normally speak about on the podcast, but we just thought that it was really important to talk about it, considering there's so much talk about it in the media at the moment. But just in general, you know, it's important to talk about topics like this.
Yeah, but you're dead right, because it is important to speak about topics like this. Okay, so that is the end of this week's podcast. However, next week we are back, Emma.
Yes, and we're not going to be alone. Next week we are going to be chatting to the lads from New Rules.
Yes, which is slightly related to the topic of this week in the sense of Little Mix.
Yes.
Because they're supporting them in their world tour.
Yeah, we're very excited for it. So make sure you tune in. But until then, if there's anything that you'd like us to talk about on Unlocked, make sure you get in touch with us. I'm on Instagram at This Is Emma Power.
And you can catch me at Foxy Lore 10.
Bye.